And here in Seattle, our neighborhoods and suburbs have been segregated by race. Richard Rothstein says it wasn't an accident. Segregation was actually carefully engineered by the government. He's a research associate at the Economic Policy Institute and the author of a new book, The Color of Law, A Forgotten History of How Our Government Segregated America. He told KUOW's Ann Dornfeld that few people understand how our cities became segregated.
We have a national myth that segregation is what we call de facto the result of personal preference or private prejudice or differences in income. But in fact, while certainly private prejudice and differences in income and personal preference and discrimination by private real estate actors are all present, none of those would have been as powerful in segregating metropolitan areas if it weren't for the policies of the federal, state, and local governments. Not the incidental effects of policies that weren't racial, but racially explicit policies by the federal and lower government levels of government designed explicitly to segregate metropolitan areas.
You write about a lot of different federal policies that segregated American cities. What's one example?
In the 1940s and 1950s, the federal government, through the Federal Housing Administration, guaranteed bank loans to mass production builders in places like Seattle. It was the William and Bertha Boeing who were large developers. They guaranteed bank loans to large-scale developers to build entire subdivisions on condition, on explicit condition, that no homes be sold to African Americans. This was a federal government policy, and it was done all over the country. Seattle was one place, but New York, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Washington, Baltimore, every metropolitan area in the country was suburbanized in the 40s and 50s by a federal policy to deny African Americans access to suburbs. In the 1940s and 1950s, those homes were selling for about $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a piece. In today's dollars, that's about $100,000 a piece. Today, those homes sell for $400,000, $500,000, perhaps more in Seattle. The families, the white families, who were subsidized by the federal government to move to those homes in the 1940s, 50s, and even 60s, gained over the course of subsequent generations some $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in home equity. The African Americans, who were forced to remain in urban areas, in central cities, because they were prohibited effectively by the federal government from moving to these suburbs that the government was created, gained none of that equity. They were paying rent. So to remedy that requires more than simply saying that it's no longer permitted to discriminate against African Americans. To remedy that, the movement of African Americans to those suburbs from which they were once excluded will have to be subsidized by the federal government in order to undo the segregationist policies that are pursued in the mid-20th century. That is politically inconceivable today, in large part because policymakers, including liberal policymakers, are under the mistaken belief that the federal government and state and local governments had nothing to do with this segregation.
Richard Rothstein is a research associate at the Economic Policy Institute and the author of a new book about segregation in America. He spoke with KUOW's Ann Dornfeld as part of a series of conversations and stories will air in the coming months about how racial equity shapes the Seattle region.